I neglected to mention that Sister Donna is out Canyon, Texas, near Amarillo at their annual meeting at the church out there. And so she's out there at church for the weekend. Let's first this morning go to Titus, the third chapter. Titus chapter 3. And I'll start with a couple of verses here to begin the subject that I have on my mind. And it seems like it wasn't very long ago that I preached on regeneration, on being born again. So that's not where I'm going today, but that's certainly what this is talking about here. In the fourth verse, after he talks about, he describes ourselves in that third verse, a bunch of negative things, and tells us some couple of things to do in the first and second verses. Then he says, "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done." Not by works of righteousness which we have done. So the things he tells us in the first and second verses to not do or to do, that's not what got us what's in the fifth verse. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So certainly through the Holy Ghost, we are washed of our sins. Jesus Christ did that on the cross. He sacrificed himself, and at some point in our lives, then the Holy Spirit, third in the Trinity, then that's when that is shed upon us, but through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, being justified, that's the state we're in, being justified, declared righteous through by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, in harmony with the hope of eternal life. So I'm going to talk about, Lord willing, eternal life today a bit. Now, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, 1 John chapter 5. And then I'm going to spend, after this, a lot of time in 2 Corinthians. But 1 John chapter 5. Instead of backing up so many verses here and just taking up time, I'm just going to go with the 11th verse. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. He hath given unto us eternal life. We have that now. I've said this many times. Other ministers, countless ministers through the centuries have said that that we have eternal life. The children of God, the elect family of God, at some point in that experience that I just described in Titus 3 and 5, that's happened at that point then. Our soul and spirit is ready. And there have, in fact, in researching some church history, I was I read of one minister who died in the pulpit. He just died, and he was called home, his soul and spirit. His soul and spirit was already in the condition, in the state that it needed to be in to enter into heaven and immortality, not his body. His body went back to the dust. That's what I intend to spend some time on is our bodies. So this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. It's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe it's the first song that you led, Brother Roger, you know, about Jesus and his being a friend to us. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son, Son of God, hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He hasn't written them to those that do not believe on the name of the Son of God. These things I have written unto you that believe, that already believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So John writes this. He say, even gives us the reason he's written these unto those that believe on the name Son of God, that ye may know, that you realize, that you trust in that, that ye may know. Not that you would have eternal life. I just read that God hath given you. We already have that. And so this is such a wonderful basic doctrine here of God, it's God's doctrine that the Primitive Baptist Church believes. It's not Primitive Baptist doctrine; it's God's doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ Himself that we hold on to and that we put our hope in. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, wait, they already believe. Yeah, but let's put our trust in Jesus Christ. Let's commit our trust to Him. Let's sacrifice ourselves now to Jesus Christ. He's already made us accepted in the Beloved. So there's no, and I, as I've said before, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trust in that, but I already believed that by the time I was able to do that. It's not in order to get that. So now let me grab one more thing. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The 17th verse, then I'll get to my, I would say is my text. The 17th verse, 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's already, and he is now, a new creature. Same thing, this soul and spirit. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So this new creation in regeneration, that soul and spirit, it's changed at that point. And then is when I know that's when my trouble would have started in battling my outward man, the outward man that we still have sin. Again, the body is not ready at this moment to enter into heaven. Because the perfection that God demands, that Jesus Christ has given us, these bodies must be changed. So now let's go to the first verse in this chapter. Second Corinthians 5 and 1. So I already mentioned that phrase, those things he wrote, John did, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Yeah. You may know that. That's very important. Is it 2 Thessalonians 4, around 16 and all? That wherefore comfort one another with these words. Many times, this is preachers use those verses right there about the resurrection at funerals. To give people hope. And at those funerals, most everyone, maybe everyone there present, believes in the resurrection of the body. They believe in that Christ is the resurrection and so forth. But there was some trouble of the reason that was written there. There were some that did not believe in that. And they were being taught that there was no resurrection of the body. But anyway, so we know something. And it helps to hear these things, and all Peter and so many that we're to put God's children in remembrance of these things, that we may continue to know these, realize them, and give God the praise, honor, and glory. This is all God honoring. For we know. Now, with just that phrase, let me stop there. John chapter 3, real quick. For we know. I'm about to tell you something that we know.
Right.
And this is Jesus, the words of Jesus Christ here. And I'll read one more verse of the words of Jesus. But in the, he's talking to Nicodemus here, down around the 10th, 11th verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" And Jesus knew he didn't know those things. But he's asking him. He's making a point there. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know." We speak of those things that we do know. So there's something that he's saying that we know. "And testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." So Nicodemus right now does not know something. And Jesus said, "What, you're a leader of a master of Israel, and you don't know these things?" So he's talking to this Jew here. Let me go to the fourth chapter. Just one page over in my Bible, Jesus still speaking here. Of course, a different scene. After this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, beautiful scene here, scenario. So Jesus is getting a point across to her. There's something that she doesn't know, something that Jesus does know. That and his disciples weren't there at this time at that well. He'd sent them off, and he's here, and he had already said, "We must needs go to Samaria," and all. There was a reason for that. But so Jesus says around the 22nd verse, 21st verse, "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Now, Jerusalem, that's where the temple was. That's where the Jews worshiped God, and they made sacrifices and all. They were following the law of God that God set up. So the Jews were doing that. And yet she didn't worship there, the Samaritan woman. And we can go back to Ezra and all and see there's a difference there in worship. Jesus is talking about worshiping God here. There's a difference. And there's, fixing to be another difference. Put it in Texas terms. There's about to be another difference here. But you won't worship here on this mountain, because she's saying, "Yeah, I worship," and all. And also, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. You know, that might be offensive and all. It's like, "Oh, well, don't tell me I'm wrong and what I'm..." Well, their heart's in the right place and all that. And I'm not going to get into all that. I tell you what, if someone is sincerely striving to worship God, and maybe they're not, they don't quite have it, there's some things that they don't know, Nicodemus. Now, if they're children of God, then they're blessed with peace. But yet, let's enter into that rest. Let's press into that rest in knowing fully that what Jesus Christ did. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. "Nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what." Something that she doesn't know. "Ye worship, ye know not what." So she doesn't know something. Paul, back where I first came, where I started, where I just left off, in that ye know is what he's talking about. There's some things that we do know. I'll get into that in just a second. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, Jesus tells her. So we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. Now, Jesus is not talking about, he's not talking racially. He's not talking about a race here. And I think back, you know, Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. All of this, it was in God's perfect, his, and all those types and shadows in the Old Testament, all God set this up. It points to Jesus Christ, and I've spoke on that recently. The his coming into the tribe of Judah in covering the Levitical tribe as well, and all the differences. He didn't come out of the tribe of priests, but for salvation is of the Jews. Before I get back, let me grab one verse I just thought of in Romans 3:1. What advantage then, Paul says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. He's not putting them down. He's not, Paul's walking a tightrope here in the, talking about the law and worship changing and so forth, the law being fulfilled. But God inspired him to write these things and blessed him. Now let me read this, the second verse, and I'll go back. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them, the Jew, unto them were committed the oracles of God. For salvation is of the Jews. God brought this through them. Aren't we thankful that he brought in Gentiles into this, into his salvation? It's not just the Jews, in these inspired writings, though, and there were many Jews that believed the apostles there. There were many that did not, many Gentiles that didn't. And I don't have to be concerned on whether or not these are children of God and all this. If they are, then their soul and spirit is in heaven right now. And I don't have to worry about that. God's got that handled. He hath given us eternal life. We have that now. Now, let me go back to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians 4, because all I've gotten so far is three words. For we know. We know these, some of these things. We know something here. So let's find out what we know. That if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that our earthly, so we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, all this house is talking about is our body. Our body is all that is. There's no need to be confused on this. And there are so many supporting verses in here that you will think of several or many that's like, oh, I wonder why he didn't go here or there. There's plenty. Go back to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians and all. And maybe I'll hit a couple of those things. For we know that if our earthly house, our bodies, and he doesn't, it's not, there's no redundancy here. He's not just repeating himself when he says, for our earthly house, our bodies, of this tabernacle. It's temporary. Tabernacle? And how about this? Paul was a tent maker by trade. He did have a trade, and he was a tent maker. And so, and I've seen that where ministers are blessed to use in their sermons something that either has happened, some experience, that's experiential, from experiences, they'll preach something, or from their job and all. I know the first thing that just came to my mind is when Elder Mark Quarles preached at our annual meeting. He's now retired chief probation officer for the Southern District of Mississippi. So he brings that stuff in. And so Paul's a tent maker. So he's saying, if our earthly house, our bodies, and we know that's temporary, we all die because of sin, of this tabernacle, it's a tent. You think of that temple was built. Now, that was temporary as well. 70 A.D., that thing was destroyed. God prophesied through his prophets that would be destroyed, not a stone be left standing there. Jesus already told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, we're not going to worship at Jerusalem. You'll worship in spirit and in truth. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, our bodies, were dissolved, destroyed. Give one verse from Job. From Job chapter 4. To get some wording here. Because the first thing I thought of reading that first verse of the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians was, and you'll hear preachers say, these bodies of clay. No, my body of clay. It's just going to dissolve and all. Now, and I'm not, let me finish through all this. But anyway, Job chapter 4, verse 19. Here's the wording. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay. Their bodies. Houses of clay. So there's three descriptions here. Houses of clay whose foundation is in the dust. That's all we are. When I begin to think too much of myself, I'm just dust and I'll go back to the dust. But then in Jesus Christ, then we'll be raised. We'll be raised again. And whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. So he's asking a question. They're crushed before, and crushed worse than a moth. And I've had to crush a moth, bugs and everything, and had to do that. But so he's talking about these bodies of clay. There's that tabernacle. We're all in tabernacles right now. There's no permanence there in that, in these bodies. Now in 2 Peter, the first chapter, on my way back here, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes here in the 13th verse of the first chapter, 2 Peter. I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Here's our body. It all fits together. It's tabernacle. Just remember. Now, sometimes in God's word, he's speaking of, the writers speak of the literal tabernacle. They were certainly that in the wilderness and so forth, and where they were, there was the law and so forth. But this so many places you have to rightly divide word of truth. Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. There's scripture for my point from a couple of minutes ago. We're to put you in remembrance of this. Because you already know these things. You know. Knowing, there's some more knowing. It's all through here. Knowing, 14th verse, that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able to, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So knowing that it's just temporary, we are still called to do something for God's people. Here is the purpose of the gospel, to put God's children in remembrance of these things, because you already know it. You know of the resurrection. There's a day in the spring where the world and many in the world celebrate that resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm a couple of weeks early. Brother Mark will be here on the Sunday that the world observes that. But I felt led to preach on this today. This body, but so we Peter is writing that for now, he says, I think it meet. It's acceptable for him to put them in remembrance of that. Okay. Let me continue this sentence in the first verse of the fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. We have a building of God. So if it's dissolved, and it's going to be dissolved, you know, there's going to be a change in our bodies. So in that respect, we don't believe that this body will go to the dust, will be dissolved, and then we will get a new body. You could say, I guess, I don't want to get tied down on semantics and words here in this, the details, but there's going to be a change of this very body. When Jesus Christ calls our name, whenever that is going to be then, and raises us from the grave, we've already been called of God, and that's in regeneration, and that we're passive in that. Don't think that you had any choice or decision in that. And be thankful that we didn't. Because if we go back and read what state we were in there in Titus then, we were not in any shape or condition to answer that call in the affirmative. But when Jesus calls our name on that great morning of the resurrection, Jesus Christ being the resurrection, then these bodies will be changed. These very bodies, with these eyes, I'll see him. So we know that if this earthly house, if this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands. It's not of us. I think back, even that deal that you sent me in that text, Brother Roger, it's like go back to the Garden of Eden and so forth. God created everything. He's the creator. He is the potter. We are the clay. But this is a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's the eternal life. When I thought he's going to talk about something about eternal life. Well, here's the eternal life, eternal in the heavens. These bodies will be changed in a moment, and be glorified, and we will be made like Jesus Christ himself. And yet, even now, he hath given us eternal life. We have that, and that's what gives us the strength, you know, and the unction to drag ourselves when it gets cold again outside and we're used to the warmth already. Get up and get outside and actually come to church to worship him. And that we receive blessings in that. But don't we owe it to him? Don't we owe it to him for what he's done? So in 1 Corinthians, just a couple of pages back, that 15th chapter, I'm just going to, there's so much, so I don't want to take the time here, but around the 42nd verse is where I'm looking, 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. So he's finishing up explaining some things here, but he says, so it also is the resurrection of the dead. So there's the resurrection of the dead that I'm just talking about. It is sown, that tabernacle, the body, is sown in corruption. Well, certainly, when we die and our soul and spirit's called home to be with God, that soul and spirit then is there as the innumerable host that's already there, and our bodies stay here. That's why we say, you know, at a funeral or something, well, my loved one, he or she, he's not here. Their life in Christ Jesus is in heaven. Yes, and we have right now the belief and the comfort of knowing that. And so many times, as I even say the words, that I firmly believe that, then it does not always bring me up to the comfort that I feel like I need in that. But I know that. And then the years go on. And then we want to see them, our loved ones, again. But then, praise be to God that He guides our next thought when we're wanting them to come back and be with us, which is a selfish thought. But He reminds us of where they are right now in soul and spirit. Yeah. That's why I can say that I don't want them to come back. Right. I regret things, not saying things to them and asking them things and maybe hugging them and so forth. And then, now, that thought there, my regret in that, will that change me now to lay aside some things in my life now and actually act on that and speak words of love and care to my close loved ones here and now? Will I use that? Well, let's use the gospel to encourage us in doing that. Back to the 42nd verse here. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's the same body. It's that tabernacle. And then we have a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It is sown in dishonor. That's how this body will go to the dust. It's how it will be dissolved, destroyed. It is raised in glory. Raised in glory. We'll have glorified bodies. I don't understand all of that, the details of that. But I know it for a truth because God tells us this. It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And we have that same power now. This spirit that dwells within us, the body, that tabernacle. The temple of the Lord here, these bodies, is simply the abode, the dwelling place of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. It's a dwelling place is what that is for now. It is sown a natural body. Apostle Paul is just doubling down on this. Here, wording it, I don't know if he's thinking, well, they're bound to get one of these verses here that I'm right. I know these weren't in verses, numbered and all that. But I'm going to repeat all these things till they get some word. There's been sermons that I've tried to preach and that someone will understand the word that I use to describe something. Others is like they're thinking of some other definition or something. But God can guide us in that. But He's rewording this and building and building on it. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, the same body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. He's really repeating this stuff. He is really pressing down on this. So then I skip over to a few verses here. If I can find it. Yeah, get the right page here. And then the 51st verse. Certainly, this is well known to you. Because I want a word in two of these verses. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And I know that says that. It words it. God words it in His word here. That Stephen fell asleep. That's the way it's described. You fall asleep in death. In death. It's like, we should not all sleep. We're not going to sleep forever. It's not an endless sleep. It's not. We're going to rise, the body is, from the grave. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There's a change. It's not a replacement. It's not a replacement. We'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how long it's going to take. Just a wink. Just that, we don't even know how short that is. When Jesus calls our name, don't think there's going to be a big old bunch of time in there. We're going to meet Him in the air. Certainly, He's not going to come down here and be around here to do what? He's going to call us home in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. We shall be changed. For this corruptible, that tabernacle, this tabernacle, this body of clay, this temporary dwelling place that, grant you, God, Jesus Christ, dwells in right now, if He has given us eternal life, and He has. So there's the eternal life. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then he makes this beautiful statement, death is swallowed up in victory. And then in the second, let me move to the second verse of that fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians, and head towards some kind of a conclusion. For in this we groan. In this we groan. Whether that groaning be audible, whether it be silent, and I do. I think I don't know to what extent you all have uttered these groanings, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, that permanent dwelling place, that house that body that will be glorified. I groan, and yet whatever day that may be for me or for anyone in that separation of the soul and spirit from this body, when this body is dissolved, whenever that is, I want that to be at the timing of God Almighty Himself. I tell you what, Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself for us. He's given us eternal life, as much as I may groan, and again, I see some in myself, at least some selfishness in that. It's like, I'm just ready for this to be done. I know I've told you this, but let me tell it again. As we get older, we start telling the same old stories over and over, but this makes a point here. My dad's mother, she was just at the end of her life, she just miserable and all. And she'd say, and this was even when Dad, I believe, when he was still in college and all, well, yeah, I know it was, but she'd say, oh, I just wish the world would end right now. And Dad would tell her, Mama, don't say that. I've got stuff I want to do. He was just, he wasn't even finished with school yet and all. You go on if you want, but not as, and she, no, I want everybody there. She just wanted it all finished and all. But we have things. I have some experiences, even as old as I am, Sister Renna, even as old as I am, I have things and I still want to experience. But I tell you what, they need to be experienced with the joy of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, in the rest and the peace in knowing these things. Yes, live in hope of eternal life. Grab hold of that because you already have it. I read He's given it to you. Let me close with Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, just the last couple of verses of this writing, verse 20, Philippians 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. From whence? So that's where we look for the Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. He is coming Himself. He is going to do this Himself. But our knowing, I'll tell you this, so as ye know, because ye know that Jesus Christ is God. He is God. He has that power. And we draw upon this same power here in all the stuff that we get bogged down in here in this life, in our lives here. All the details, and whether it be on our jobs or we're in fear of our jobs and providing, or if it's sorrow or just frustration or battling something, emotional things and all that. We, right now, since we have that eternal life that Jesus has given us, we have the power that swallowed death up. We have great power in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have that now. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Everyone will know at that day, if they don't already, that that Jesus Christ was victorious on the cross. Some knew that. We realize that. We know. I'm telling you something that you do know. If Apostle Paul can tell them that they know these things, and us, then I'll tell you, we know that Jesus Christ was victorious at Calvary, that He did exactly, and at the very moment that He laid down His life, it is finished. And then the next time we will see Him and hear Him audibly is when He calls our name, and we will meet Him in the air. And these vile bodies will be changed and made glorious, even like unto the Son of God. How did I earn that? I didn't. We didn't. There's nothing yet. I started out by saying, yes, do this. Be meek and all these things that we're supposed to do in our lives. It's so hard, so difficult because of our outward man. It's so hard to let things go and all. But there will be one day that body, soul, and spirit, we will be there. We won't be thinking about any of these things. But for right now, then, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now. Open doors of the church for membership. If anyone has desire to join, you let us know.